lift your hands to the Lord right now. Let's just worship Him. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for meeting us here tonight, God. We praise Your name, Jesus. We worship You tonight, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise Your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. We would like to welcome all of our guests here to Calvary Gospel Church on our Wednesday night Bible study. If you're first-time guests, we have a connection card that you can grab in the kiosk in the very back vestibule area, or you can get one from one of our ushers. Or if you're visiting with us online, you can go to bit.ly/CGC guest, and you can fill out the form. What we do is we have a small gift for you, and we just like to get in contact with you. If you'd like to learn more about the Bible or anything, there's some questions on there that you could answer. If you'd like to become a member of our church or need to be baptized, you can also put a little note there as well. And so we just thank you for coming. We'd like to also remind you tonight that we have giving options. You can see those up on the screen tonight. You can give at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can also mail it in to us at 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can text to give. Just put a keyword, tithes, offering, or any other type of keyword, and those that will go to the right place. And we thank you for supporting all the ministries at Calvary Gospel Church, and we thank you for being a faithful supporter. Without you, there we wouldn't have lights, or we wouldn't have we wouldn't be able to be here, you know, on these beautiful grounds in this beautiful church. Amen. Are you thankful you have a church to go to? Amen. I'm thankful for all of those who've been faithful supporters over the many years of Calvary Gospel Church to make it what it is by your giving and your sacrifice. So thank you very much. And if you want to become a faithful giver at Calvary Gospel Church, it's really easy. Just try God one time and see what happens. And He will bless you. Amen. This Sunday, June 27th, we have a missionary service. Brother Mark Harris, who used to be the pastor up in Shawano, Wisconsin, he's a missionary now to India. He'll be presenting the work that's going on, as well as ministering the word of the Lord at the 10 a.m. adult class and also at the 11 a.m. worship service. So that'll be this June 27th. On Sunday, July 11th, there's going to be a special speaker. Is Brother Morton Bustard, okay? So you guys have seen the signs. You know Brother Bustard. He operates in miracles, signs, wonders, giftings, sometimes a prophecy. And so if you are interested in being blessed of the Lord, or you know someone who would like to come and needs a healing in their body, or they need some other type of miracle in their life, that would be a great time to invite a special guest. Amen. At this time, we have a special gift for our pastor. I believe on the 13th, is that correct? on the 13th of this month, it was his 40th anniversary. All right. So, Sister Lois, would you like to come on up here? Awesome. We'll let Sister Lois open this one up, if she can... take a look at that. This is super handy, awesome piece of equipment there. That is an RV waste pump. So that takes care of a lot of business that you wouldn't want to put your hands on. It takes it and puts it down a hose, and there you go. So. Happy anniversary, and thank you guys. They do a lot of camping. If you don't know, they have a very nice, awesome, cool RV, and they spend a good deal of time in the summers, and this will be a handy piece of equipment for them to use. If you know what that's about, then you know. If you know, you know, right? If you know, you know. And so at this time, we'd like to just... I didn't ever ask you to sit. Okay, you can all just stand. Let's all stand. We're just going to go to the Lord in prayer right now. And just a real kind of not on the list, but there has been a change of the speakers. What was the fellow's name who got stuck in Canada? Raymond Woodward is not able to make it down. And I think the dude's name who's replacing him, the minister, Brother James Little, I believe. Marvin Treese. And so there's a couple of day speakers and still our regular night speaker. So there's a little bit of a change. So if that matters to you, so we should see a bigger attendance, right? Because now we got two day speakers and all that. So we'll be, who's going to go up to family camp? Just give it. Awesome, man. That's a huge showing, man. That's awesome. So we'll be up there. We'll be excited. You guys make sure you come and visit the campfires over by the RVs, all right? There we go. There's the flyer. So Pastor Roy asked me to mention it, and then I totally forgot the names. So there we are. All right. So we're standing right now to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's just pray that we have some special events coming up with Brother Morton Buster. We also have a Summer Fun Fest that's just a little bit down the road. We'll be announcing later. But we want to pray for these special events that God would have his way in those events, and we would also find ourselves with people through connection groups or through Bible studies or an outreach or just meeting them at home or around our homes and our neighborhoods or school or work, that we started inviting those folks and God would soften up their hearts and bring them to the Lord. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you, God, that you will touch, Lord Jesus, every single family, every single member of this church, Lord God. You give them a special anointing of evangelism. Oh, God, help them to remember these events, oh, God, and to remember to invite people, Lord God. Give them a special gift of faith, Lord, to believe, Lord Jesus, the miracles, signs, and wonders, and all the things that can happen, Lord Jesus. We ask you, God, that you would just bless our church right now. And help us, oh God, to reach the lost. In your name we pray. Thank you, Lord.
Beautiful name it is. Praise the Lord, church.
Such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Thank you so much, Sister Abby and Brother Jay, for leading us into worship this evening. You can go ahead and be seated tonight. And trust you're having an enjoyable week thus far. It is much cooler this week. Much nicer going outside. And I had some nephews over last night from California. I had never met them, so it's my first time to meet them. And they were between 6 and 9 years old, and four of them. And they had a lot of fun chasing lightning bugs because they've never seen lightning bugs. And we live out in the country, and there are lots and lots and lots of lightning bugs. So going to get a bit of rain tomorrow. Supposed to get some areas 4 inches of rain. So it's not a bad thing unless you get flooded out, right? Oh, we finished our last series this past Sunday, and we're speaking on the topic of carnality as a Christian. And if you're unable to be here any of these during any of those lessons, it's available online for you to watch. And I strongly believe that today, as a Christian, that our lives are more challenging, and living a life of a Christian is more challenging than ever before. And we're faced with more social issues than I believe any other generation before us. I also firmly believe that to survive as a Christian today, we must know what we believe, and we must know why we believe it, and our beliefs must be rooted firmly in the Word of God, not rooted in our own tradition or other traditions, but rooted firmly in the Word of God. Now, I've seen more people as of late trying to discredit God's word as a bunch of archaic, judgmental, man-made documents that no longer serve as a guide for humanity. But interesting enough, some of those same people will say that the very foundation of our country concerning our Constitution and the words in our Constitution no longer serve a purpose as well. Much of our youth today, and I'm not picking on our own young people here, but most of our youth today and many people, they don't really listen to learn, but I found out they listen to respond. And we have lost the ability as a nation to discuss our differences. We only know how to argue. And we must understand that we have become, as a people, a nation, a divided house. And Scripture tells us that a divided house will not stand. I find it very intriguing that here in America, you will find a young person sporting a $150 pair of tennis shoes, sipping on a $10 cup of coffee, texting on a $1,000 phone on their social media account, complaining about the social injustices of the capitalism and our government and how it has failed them. But to see that same mentality, understand, is often used when it comes to the Word of God, that the Word of God is no longer necessary to guide humanity. So we live in a generation that most often by choice chooses to ignore these things of previous generations, especially when it comes to the morals and the values pertaining and how they relate to the Word of God. So we have to ask ourselves this question. As a church and as a nation, as a people, how did we get here? How did we get here? How did we so very quickly, it seems, get to this point, and I think that we can find the answer firmly embedded in the Word of God. So in order to figure this out and find this out, we must turn into the pages of the Word of God. And reading tonight our series passage, I would like to read from Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1. I'm reading out of the NIV. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So we're going to title this series, and we're going to continue on this series up through to the end of the summer before you panic and say, "Oh boy, by the time we take out our special services and special guest speakers and such, it's really going to come much quicker than we think." So the series is simply, "Lord, teach us. Lord, teach us." And he said unto them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then Jesus said unto them, 'Suppose ye have a friend, and ye go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are in bed, and I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, for your son's sake, for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I firmly believe that one of the main reasons or causes that we are in the mess we are in today is simply because society has stopped asking the question, "Lord, teach us. Lord, teach us." You see, teachability is the foundation of learning. If you are unwilling to listen and you are unwilling to be taught, hear me, then you lose the ability to learn. You lose the ability to learn how to live life. You lose the ability in learning what is right and what is wrong based upon biblical principles. Now, we're going to talk in this series. We're going to learn about biblical principles. We're going to go through some very foundational biblical principles. Now, we can call these biblical principles biblical convictions. A lot of times we say, "Well, I've got a biblical conviction against this, that, or the other." What you're basically saying is there are principles in the Word of God that I will not personally defy. You're saying there are boundaries in my life, and I will not overstep or step over these boundaries. This right here is my fence line. I know where I stand. When I go over and I begin to read in the Word of God, I know where my boundaries are. Because in my life, I have been taught basic biblical principles, and those principles, when applied to your life, help you to develop convictions. Now also understand, we have what is called personal convictions. We have biblical principles based upon biblical principles, and we develop convictions from those biblical principles, but then there's personal convictions. I want to give you an example of a personal conviction. Some people don't drink coffee or soda or any type of caffeine because they say it's a biblical or a personal conviction. Now, this is where we have to be careful sometimes, because we like to, at times, our flesh, our carnality comes out, and we like to one-up. Say, well, I don't drink coffee because it's caffeine, and it's a biblical conviction. You have to be very careful where you draw the line for other people when it comes to biblical convictions versus personal convictions. Then we're going to throw in one more third thing that's kind of a wild card, if you want to call it that, and that is a personal preference. I have a lot of personal preferences, Bishop, that are not necessarily convictions. I have a preference. I know we have a bit of a controversy going on about men sporting beards. Just going to throw it out there. I have a beard. I just shave it. Most of us men have beards. If you ladies have one, you don't want anybody to know about it. So we have the personal preference that I prefer our men, when they preach behind the pulpit, that they're clean shaven. So I asked them. That's a preference. I'm not going to get up here and say that this is a conviction or that it's a biblical principle or a biblical doctrine, because I can't prove that biblically. Jesus probably had a beard. A lot of our early founding fathers in Pentecost had beards. So when I look at some of these things, if you're not careful, you can get yourself caught in a very tight pickle. I remember years ago when Bishop was our superintendent, he received a phone call from a pastor, and the pastor was panicking, saying, "My church is about to split." Pastor said, "What's the issue?" He said, "Well," he said, "the problem I'm having is that it's over television." I mentioned, talked about this in Sunday's message a little bit about TV and carnality. And I stand before you tonight, and I will repeat the same thing that I was taught by my bishop or my pastor, that watching TV is not a sin. Depends what you watch. Okay, we talked about it's a matter of heart. And what happened was this pastor got caught because he had been teaching as a biblical principle and conviction that it's a sin to watch TV. So he got caught at the Sears and Roebuck watching a presidential speech. Now, this is where you have to be careful here. This is where teachability comes in. Some of us are so stubborn that we won't budge an inch on some things, and some things simply don't matter. So you have to be careful as we go through this series. We're going to have to understand the difference between a personal preference. I prefer that you not do certain things. Or we not do certain things. Then there's personal convictions. These are a little bit deeper. And then you have biblical principles or biblical convictions that are principles founded in the Word of God. Now, when we look at all of this, we can look and we say Jesus had 12 disciples. And each disciple was uniquely different than the other. Peter was much different than Andrew, much different than John, much different than Luke, Bartholomew. We don't hardly hear anything about Bartholomew. They were all different, but they all had something that Jesus saw. Collectively, they were powerful, but individually, they struggled. Sometimes, as a church, individually, we may struggle, but collectively, we are powerful. They said, Lord, teach us. Teach us. We read in the book of Acts where the day of Pentecost was poured out and they were all speaking in tongues and they were called ignorant and unlearned. You see, unlike the rulers of the religious rulers of the day who felt they had all of the answers. If you talk to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were the keepers of the law. They knew everything about the law, and if you had a question, you could go to them, and they would answer that. And they were the ones that prayed on the street and gave alms in public, and when they were fasting, everybody knew they were fasting. But one thing that they lacked, and one thing they desperately needed, and that was the ability for someone to teach them. Everything they had learned was based off of religious tradition. I think teachability perhaps is the single most important factor for whether or not we are going to grow up in God. We talked about maturity as a Christian, about it's not based upon tenure, how long you've been here. A lot of it is based upon how teachable of a person are you. What I mean when I say someone is teachable is that not only a hunger for Jesus Christ and to grow in him, but also a humble willingness to do anything necessary to see that happen. I can't emphasize enough how vital this is in our ability to grow and to grow up in Christ. I'd go as far to say that if you aren't teachable, you will never see the significant growth in your walk with God. Thus, it will make it very difficult for you to make it to heaven someday. The disciple says, Lord, teach us. Teach us. There was such a hunger in their hearts to learn more about the kingdom of God. Tonight I want to share about the importance of having a meek or a teachable spirit. You see, we're born into this world knowing nothing. I was sitting outside this past week with my sister-in-law, Lori, and he had little Emmett. It was on Father's Day, and he was looking at everything around him, and we were talking about how difficult it is to imagine being the age we are today, but having the mentality or the thinking process of an infant, seeing all of this stuff, but not knowing anything about what it is. They see the birds, they don't know it's a bird. They see the bird fly, they have no idea. Everything that our children learn is taught to them by someone. By someone. We're born into this world knowing nothing. We can't walk. We can't talk. We can't feed ourselves. We have to learn to eat. We have to learn to ride a bike. We have to learn to read. We have to learn to write. Quite simply put, everything that we learn, we are taught. This is why it's so important, church, that we are teachable. The more we grow in our faith, the more we grow in God and succeed in life. And all of this depends upon our level of teachability. When you read the book of Hosea, Hosea is a very sad commentary of the life of Israel and the comparison of Israel. Hosea is comparing Israel and such to his wife, and you just have to read the book. But in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Because they reject knowledge. God says, "I am going to reject you." We live in a world today, church, that is rejecting biblical knowledge. Proverbs 19:20 tells us, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days." Young people, I just want to challenge you. Your parents tonight are not as stupid as you may think. Sometimes, you know, when you're 16, let's just be honest. When you're 16, you think your parents don't know anything. Right? I did. Well, what does he know? He grew up in the 50s. Come on. How many of you have been there? Okay, there you go. We're getting some honest, hard pulling honesty out here. No, it's just, we thought, growing up, we didn't think our parents knew anything. Then you turn 18, 19, 20, you get married, you have your first child, and then you begin to realize how much mom and dad really did know. And by the time you get in your mid-30s, you're thinking that your parents were probably right up there with Sir Isaac Newton and Albert Einstein. When you get into your 50s, if your parents are still around, you begin to realize how wise your parents are. And when you're in your late 50s to early 60s, you wish you had the wisdom of your parents. That's just how it is. So we must always be willing to be humble enough to others to speak into our lives. So children, young people, don't be afraid. I cherish the conversations I have with my father. We don't have enough of them, but I cherish those times. Because you see, I have to understand, we all have blind spots in life. I think that's why it's so important that God put a couple, a man and a woman, together. Because between a man and a woman, there are a few blind spots that are going to get passed. Because what a man doesn't have, a woman has, and what a woman doesn't have, a man has. And God put them together on purpose. The statistics that Brother Jay talked about Sunday morning are staggering. So many families don't have that in that component in their family unit anymore. This is why it's so important. We have blind spots, especially when we get emotionally caught up in things. We can lose sight on what God is trying to say in our circumstances, in our situation, in our lives. We read in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 11:14, where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I am so thankful as pastor of Calvary Gospel Church that I am surrounded by such wise pastors. I'm thankful that we have such wise elders in our congregation, and I mean that between our men and our women. Without counsel, plans go away, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. It's so important that we seek counsel from others, that we do not just seek advice from those who will agree with us, but from those who love us enough to speak godly counsel into us. You see, there's a big difference between good advice and godly counsel. A big difference. Okay? In Proverbs, we read, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Sometimes we need tough love. Sometimes we need those friends in our lives who care enough about us to correct us. This is where teachability comes in, to correct us. We need to be humble enough to be open to receive the correction from such friends. And in doing so, we can avoid much pain and the wrong choices in our lives. Being teachable helps us to learn from the mistakes of others and from the counsel of godly mentors. This is why it's so important that we have godly people in our lives to assist us in our lives. So important. It's so important. You see, sometimes people say, well, you know, you just understand, I'm strong-willed, or my husband's strong-willed or stubborn, or my wife's strong-willed or stubborn. I hear that from time to time. Being strong-willed is not a problem if our will is surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with being stubborn about some things in life, and there's nothing wrong with being strong-willed about some things in life, as long as we are willing to surrender our will to His will. But see, if it's a problem if our strong will prevents us from receiving counsel and correction from others. I found that in life, that so often if a person refuses to receive godly counsel and godly advice from others, they most often and most likely struggle to receive guidance and direction from God. I'll just say this, not every good advice or godly advice I have received in my life came from God. We've got family camp coming up. We're going to have some great teaching and some great preaching. And we're going to come back and we're going to be filled during that week with godly counsel. Was God speaking to you directly? Did that come directly from the mouth of God? No, it's going to be coming from a man of God who has spent hours and hours praying for wisdom for the district of Wisconsin. So unteachable people are rarely interested in learning from other people. They're more interested in defending their position. Most will staunchly defend their position in the face of all evidence to the contrary. And that's what I go back to. The original sin is pride, and this is what happens when pride steps in. Such people cannot learn because they're always trying to convince others rather than receiving instruction. And God knows what's best for us in every situation and every circumstance. I love what John 10:10 says. Jesus says, I have come. What did he do? He came to teach us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And how do we save people? We save people by teaching people. That was the whole premises of our passage coming in. They were making reference to John the Baptist taught his disciples. And they say, Jesus, just as John the Baptist taught his disciples, will you teach us? Jesus says, I've come that they may have a life, and they may have it more abundantly. King David wrote in Psalms 139, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. I'm so thankful. My thoughts are higher. My ways are higher. God's plan for our life is much bigger than what we could ever, ever, ever imagine. But what holds us back sometimes? What stops us sometimes? I love the passage, blessed are the meek. This is out of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek. A lot of times we don't put those two words together, but meekness and teachability. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the teachable. For they shall inherit the earth. Meek people, teachable people are meek people. The book of Jeremiah reads, "For those who stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word, who has marked his word and heard it, commit your works to the Lord," in Proverbs, "that your thoughts will be established." Church, teachable people continually rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Teachable people, meek people, are both hearers and doers of the word. Teachable people have repentant hearts. The Apostle John wrote, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I want to just challenge you tonight as we close this out. Sister Abby can come. How teachable are you? It's a question we have to ask ourselves. How teachable am I? So as we enter into this series, we're going to be covering a lot of things, a lot of just what I call solid, basic, biblical principles to live life by. How teachable am I? I have to ask myself, when someone comes up with a better idea, how do I react to that? Johnny Grant mentioned on Sunday morning, how do I react when someone younger than me gives me advice? How do I react when someone older than me gives me advice? How teachable am I? Do I listen to just react and respond? Or do I listen to learn? Do I want to learn? Do I want to be better? Do I want to be a better person? So as we stand this evening, I just want to challenge you. You can ask yourself this question as Sister Abby begins to sing. How teachable am I? How teachable am I? This altar area is open.
I want to know.
For you to answer that question with God. You don't have to answer it to anybody else but to God. Say, God, am I teachable? Do I have a teachable spirit? Am I willing to listen? Am I willing to learn?
I want to touch.
Continue to sing, Sister Abby.
I want to see your face. I want you, Jesus, more than before. More of you, Jesus, I want more. More of you, I
this week's challenge. I feel that if we're going to have a Bible study, that there needs to be some kind of a challenge with that. I want you to just challenge yourself. How many times do I disagree with someone in that's superior on my job? Perhaps I've worked with a lot of people in my life. Some of the most difficult people to work with are the people that are never wrong. You ever work with someone like that? Never wrong. And if you don't believe them, you just ask them. They'll let you know. I'm never wrong. Sometimes we're that way in our marriages. Sometimes as a husband, we can never be wrong. Sometimes as a wife, we can never be wrong. So we have to challenge ourselves. I know we just had Father's Day, and we had three great speakers, but my only advice I could give to fathers is, Scripture tells us, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. What does that mean? It means don't get your children all angry and then correct them for their anger when you're the cause of it. You're the source of it. Don't poke them all the time. Don't provoke them all the time. Sometimes we just have to be right. That's someone, if you always have to be right, you have problems with teachability. So challenge yourself this week. When you're in a conversation at work, conversation with a family member, a spouse, if you always have to be right, if you walk away from the conversation having feeling that I won that conversation, then you have a problem with teachability. All right, challenge yourself this week. I promise you, if you become more humble and you're not right quite so often, life will go a whole lot less pressure in life. Thank you so very much tonight, Sister Abby. Thank you for coming out this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday evening. God bless you all. Teachability. Write it on a card. Put it on your visor. Am I teachable? God bless you. Remember, we have Brother Harris here Sunday. He'll be speaking in both sessions, our Bible study, adult Bible study. He'll be speaking in that as well as our evangelistic service. So God bless you.